This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. The fifth week of Sean Diddy Combs' federal trial comes to a close, with prosecutors continuing to present evidence to support their case. Jane, not her real name's shocking testimony, had an effect on the jury. But will it be enough to convict? Standing by, our Sydney Sumner with the latest. Sid?
Diddy's ex-girlfriend, Jane, is off the stand after a week of testimony against the rap mogul. While Jane's cross-examination concluded peacefully, her sharp tongue returned on recross, with Judge Subramanian having to direct Jane to answer the questions asked of her once again. Defense attorney Tenny Garagos honed in on Jane's financial situation, specifically the support she received from Combs. Jane detailed that she receives $5,000 in child support, and without Combs' interference, she regularly makes about $30,000 from her various social media channels per month. Garagos asked Jane to verify that during their relationship, Combs gave her about $150,000 in addition to paying her rent. Jane replied, "Is that all I'm worth in 3 years?" but eventually agreed with Garagos on the amount. Garagos then asked Jane if she would have liked to receive more than that. Jane responded with another question, "Do you think I'm worth more than that?" but eventually disagreed that she was ever unhappy with the amount. Garagos also questioned why Jane gifted Combs a mobile television so they could watch her previous hotel night tapes just after Combs had upset her with another surprise hotel night with three entertainers. Jane explained if they were watching previous tapes, she wouldn't have to have as many new hotel nights, so she was ultimately protecting herself, but commented that all of it, including the movie nights, were, quote, prompting Judge Subramanian to remind Jane to answer the question she's asked. Lawyers also argued over revealing the identity of another rapper mentioned in Jane's testimony. Jane claimed that during a months-long break in her relationship with Combs after Cassie Ventura's lawsuit, she attended a birthday dinner for a well-known rapper's partner and was shocked to see Antoine, an entertainer Combs frequently hired, in attendance. Jane testifies that Antoine had previously mentioned this couple also hired him, but she didn't expect he would be invited to such a public affair. After the dinner, attendees watched Antoine have sex with a woman on the bed in a hotel room. Antoine texted Jane after the party, mentioning their mutual friend. Months later, when Combs used Jane's phone to contact Antoine just after their violent altercation in Jane's Los Angeles home, Combs questioned what Antoine was referring to in that text. Jane explained about the party, and Combs was outraged, asking Jane how she could have gone to another man's freak-off. Judge Subramanian upheld his previous ruling that the rapper's name did not need to be made public. Defense attorney Mark Agnifilo argued that public proceedings are necessary, as they often prompt members of the public to come forward with more information, but prosecutors countered that naming the individuals would be an attempt to harass and intimidate Jane. As she left the stand in time for a scheduled international trip, Jane hugged both U.S. Attorney Maureen Comey and defense attorney Tenny Garagos, who Jane had regular meetings with up until 2 months ago, seemingly indicating there is no grudge held for her tough cross-exam. For Nancy and her expert panel's opinions on the evidence, be sure to tune into Crime Stories at 6 or 9 p.m. Eastern on Dr. Phil's Merritt Street Media, or listen to Crime Stories on your favorite podcast app.
Thanks, Sydney. More crime and justice news after this.
Remember the Leonardo DiCaprio film Catch Me If You Can? Well, this guy took notes. Tyrone Alexander, 35, posed as a flight attendant for 6 years to fly for free a whopping 120 times. Alexander claimed to work for 10 different airlines and provided 30 different badge numbers to book flights through a flight attendant's website from 2018 to 2024. Alexander was employed with a Dallas-based airline in 2015, but not as a flight attendant. TSA uncovered the scheme, and Alexander was arrested on a federal indictment in California in February. He was convicted in a jury trial last week on 4 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of entering a secure area under false pretenses. Alexander will be sentenced in August, facing up to 30 years in prison. I hope he enjoyed the travel while he could. The body of missing 2-year-old Montrell Williams washed up on the shores of the Bronx River Wednesday afternoon, and his father has now been charged in his murder. Montrell was last seen with his father, 20-year-old Arius Williams, at a Mother's Day event on May 10th. Williams reportedly argued with his father at the event and stormed off with the toddler. Days later, Montrell's 17-year-old mother contacted police, concerned that she hadn't heard from Williams. Officers unfortunately could not intervene during Williams' regularly scheduled visit until the parents ran into each other on the street. Williams pulled a knife on the mother and told her he threw their son off the Bruckner Bridge. Video emerged confirming Williams' horrifying claim. Williams is seen launching his son into the air and throwing him into the river in the late evening hours the same day of the argument with his father. Montrell was found badly decomposed, wrapped in a blanket, and clad in nothing but a diaper and one sock near the Whitestone Bridge in Queens. Arius Williams, originally arrested on custodial interference charges, now facing murder.
For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. And please join us for our daily podcast, Crime Stories, where we do our best to find missing people, especially children, and help solve unsolved homicides. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace.